We all have our definition of behave. And what's funny, though, is if we don't ever define what behave means, then anger ensues, right? If I don't tell, we go to camp every summer, right? And whenever we go to camp, I tell them, hey, this is kind of what I expect from you. I expect you to be on time for meals, right? Because we like to eat together. So be on time. I expect you to be on time during the chapel services. You know, I expect not to get any phone calls from the police. These are just things I expect, right? These are just things that I expect. So I lay out the parameters and I define what I mean by behave. But if I don't define what I mean by behave, if I don't say this is what I mean, and I tell them behave, and they're doing perfectly fine, but I don't agree with how they're behaving, I can get angry at them, right? So if I don't tell my boys how to behave, and they are jumping from, you know, the playground, some parents might not like that, and they'll go and tell my boys, hey, you need to behave. And my boys will say, well, this is behaving. My parents allow this all the time, right? So what we have to understand is we intentionally define what behave is. From a young, we have these meanings, we have these definitions with words. Like, for instance, when my wife says, hey, we're on our way home, make sure dinner's ready. I know that she means chocolate muffins and juice is not acceptable. I wouldn't argue if that was, but I know that she means, this is what my wife means when she says, hey, make sure dinner's ready because we're on our way home. One, I know that they're hungry and about to become hangry. Two, either warm up the leftovers in the refrigerator or actually cook something. That's what my wife means, right? So she's laid out these definitions. We've laid out definitions for our youth. Behave, do this, right? So I'm going to take the side of the youth for today. Yeah, I'm going to be the voice of the youth, right? Because kids, yeah, I'm still young. We need you to tell us what you want from us. We need you to be specific. Do not exasperate us. Do not provoke us. Do not anger us. Do not provoke us to wrath. And you're probably wondering, why is he saying all this? Because Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Right? Do not exasperate your children. So I'm going to speak for the youth today. Don't make us mad. Don't make us mad. And you're like, well, failed, right? I make my kids mad all the time. But what is Paul saying here? Don't exasperate us, right? Have you ever had this conversation with maybe one of your kids or your spouse or a friend? Hey, what do you want to do for lunch? I don't care. Whatever. All right, cool. Let's go to Subway. Not really feeling Subway. All right, let's go get Mexican. I don't really want to get gas today. Let's go get burgers. Nope, not really feeling burgers. Well, then obviously you want something, right? You ever had that conversation? You just get mad. You're like, well, if you want something, just say what you want. Don't just tell me you don't care and then tell me no to everything that I, you know, recommend. Have you ever had that happen to you before? My kids do that all the time. Every Thursday? That's right, every Thursday we have a staff meeting. One of us are supposed to pick a place to eat every Thursday. Usually we're like, whatever. And then Wayne ends up, I think our group name is Wayne and the Indecisives or something like that. We don't ever choose. But anyways, right? But we all have these opinions, right? And whenever the message isn't conveyed to us clearly, whenever you don't tell me specifically what you want to eat, and when you leave me in a guessing game, I get frustrated. I get angry. I can't read your mind. I wish I could, but I can't. I can't read your mind. Kids can't read their parents' minds, right? And Paul says, fathers, or you can read mothers, or you can read grandparents, or you can read teachers, figures of authority. Do not exasperate the children, all right? So we look at this word exasperate, We're like, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to exasperate my kid? What does it mean to provoke them? Exasperate, we become exasperated when we are unclear of expectations. When we are unclear of what you want from us. We're unclear. And because we're unclear of it, because the parameters haven't been defined, because behave hasn't been defined, because what you want from my life hasn't been defined, I become angry. What do you want from me? What is it that you want? Scripture goes on to say, it says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Instead of exasperating them, instead of provoking them, instead of angering them, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, pay attention up here. Listen to this. There's a contrast in this scripture between exasperation and instruction and training. Paul contrasts the two. He said, one is very unclear. Do not exasperate your children. Do not give them unclear messages. Rather, train them and instruct them. Training and instruction is clear, the other is not. So listen to me. There are things that your parents are trying to tell you that are very clear, that are very hard for you to do. Do them anyways. But, just kidding. But we become angry, right? And so we have to be able to say, I need to be clear of the message that I'm conveying, right? Scripture is difficult because Scripture isn't always clear. It's not always clear, right? And as parents, as Christian parents, we are to train them and instruct them in the Lord, right? And so we do that with the word in hand, right? If we want to train them up in the Lord, we want to instruct them in the Lord, then the Bible is our number one parent guide, right? Now, again, Scripture isn't always clear. You go back to Genesis where God tells Abraham, hey, Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. The command is clear, but the message isn't clear. Why would God want Abraham to sacrifice his son? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. And put kids, put yourself in Isaac's shoes. You're going with your dad on this journey, knowing that you're going to make a sacrifice, knowing that you don't have an animal with you. What are you about to do? Like, God, what kind of God tells me to go and sacrifice my kid? This is an unclear message, right? This is, for some of us that have been church in the wild, it's a little more clear because we've heard it a few times. But it's an unclear message that God is telling Abraham. Go and sacrifice your son. One reason why it's so unclear is because for years, God was telling Abraham, hey, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And you're going to, there's going to be nations that come from you and your wife. And so all of a sudden, right, at the age of 90, they have a son. And then God says, go and sacrifice him. Wait, hold on, God. You told me a little while ago that you're going to make nations out of this. How are you going to make nations if I sacrifice him? This is an unclear message. The Bible, let's get this clear, youth. The Bible can be unclear at times, right? It can be confusing. It can be disturbing. It can be hard to read. And that's okay. You keep reading. You keep going. So as Isaac's up there and he has his son bound, he has his knife in hand and he's coming down and the word of the Lord, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and stopped him. And he stopped Abraham from killing his son. Show me hands here. I'll ask the youth. You can participate too because y'all still have some of y'all still have parents. Raise your hands if your parents ever told you to do something. And they said, and you asked, why? And they said, because I said so. Because I said so. Only every day, right? I'm not saying that parents shouldn't use that. I use that car with my kids. Dad, why do we? Because I said so, right? It's so much easier sometimes to just say because I said so, right? I'm not saying that we shouldn't use that card. What I'm saying is that shouldn't be the only card in our deck. And I say this because two things will happen when we only play that card. You will raise kids, our youth right here, will become one of two kids. There will be a no-obedient child or a show-obedient child. There will be no-obedient or show-obedient. No-obedient is pretty self-explanatory. They just won't do what you say. They'll grow up. They'll turn 18. Kids grow up. They will soon be 18 and off to college, and they'll realize that I don't have to do what my parents say anymore. And even though they're telling me to do it over the phone, I can hang up. And they won't know if I do it or not. And they just become no-obedient, right? And no-obedience is a byproduct of exasperation. We have given them unclear messages with what we want from them. Now, the other one is show-obedient. Y'all are good at this. Y'all are good at this. Because I remember being 14, 15, 16, 25, 30. Show-obedient is, I'm going to look the part, I'm going to play the part so I can get the part. And when I don't have to play the part or look the part, I'm going to stop acting because it's just a show. I'm going to do what you want me to do, when you want me to do it, just so I can get what I want. But as soon as I don't have to do it anymore, I'm not going to. As soon as there's not anything in it for me anymore, I'm going to stop being obedient. Y'all are good at this. I know y'all, because I know me. This is show obedience, all right? And what happens is they go off to college, and they leave the church, and they never return. And it's because we have exasperated our youth. In our culture today, in society today, as we speak, the Bible, the Word of God, this right here, is losing its authority more and more every day. The youth today don't hold it as a form of authority. They don't see it as a form of authority. Atheists don't see it as a form of authority. Agnostics don't see it as a form of authority. People who have left the church don't see it as a form of authority anymore. It's just another book. Because somewhere along the lines, somebody failed to train and instruct them in the way of the Lord and be clear of the message that they are trying to get to their kids. To be absolutely clear. Look at me, youth. I want y'all to know this. Know what you believe. Everyone sitting here, all the youth right here, have told me that you believe in God. Know what you believe. And the only way to know what you believe is to read what you are professing to believe. Show obedience is easy, right? It's easy for us to say, I believe in God, and not do anything about it. It's easy to come to church and sit down and be with like-minded people. This is one of the easiest things to do. Everybody agrees with each other here. Jesus is Lord. Amen! Right? You don't really, there's really no grumpy faces. Like, no, he's not. Right? Everybody agrees with everybody here. Everybody doesn't agree with you out there. Everybody doesn't believe that Jesus is Lord out there. So it's easy to say, yeah, I believe in God. But when you get back with your friends, are you really saying, I believe in God? Obedience, this is what I wanted to talk about today. Obedience takes sacrifice, right? You talk the talk, you walk the walk, you say, I believe in God, and because I believe in God, I read His Word, and because I believe in God, I seek his counsel, and because I believe in God, I make decisions based on what I believe he wants for me. That's obedience. Obedience is saying, I believe in God, and God has proven himself to me. Abraham showed his obedience towards God. He said that, God, I really believe you, who you are. He bound up his son, and he laid him on an altar, and he said, God, I'm trusting you. I believe you because a few years ago, you told me I was going to have a boy, and I thought you were crazy. I thought you were nuts, God. I'm old. Old people aren't supposed to be having babies. Amen. Oh, no. Yeah, I ain't supposed to be having no baby. And God says, I told you you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughs at him. And Sarah says, no, I'm too old. And they have a baby. She's old, but she has a baby. And so Abraham starts to believe what the Lord says. And the more we read this story, we'll understand is that during that time, there were religions, right, that believed other gods, that it was perfectly fine for them to go and sacrifice their kids. That was an act of worship, right? And this is why it's important for us to read our Bibles and to know our Bibles. Why would Abraham so easily be able to just go bind up his son and sacrifice him? I'm not saying it was easy, but why would he follow through with it? One, because it was one of the religions from around the area. It wasn't abnormal to him. He saw other people believing in gods that did this. And so he was like, okay, so my God is kind of like their God. My God gave me a baby at 90 years old, but hey, my God's kind of like their God. So I'm going to tie him up, I'm going to sacrifice him, just like God says. But as soon as his hand was about to come down, God says, stop. See, what we have to learn is that the Bible is always teaching us something about who God is. Always teaching us something about who God is. There are gods out there. I want y'all to listen to me real quick. There are gods out there in the world that are calling your name. I'll use the words gods because that's what Scripture teaches us, right? Because people believe in these things. There are idols out there that are calling your name. They're saying, come believe in me. Come believe that money is the answer, that fame is the answer, that popularity is the answer, that happiness without regard to consequences is the answer. And they are calling your name. They want you to worship them. And the gods of Abraham's time were no different. There's so many different gods that wanted to be worshipped, right? People were worshipping these made-up gods. And so God goes and he binds up his son. And what we find out about God, though, is whenever he stops Abraham, is we find out this. God is telling Abraham, I'm not like the other gods. I'm not like them. I'm different. I'm holy. You don't have to sacrifice your son because I will provide the sacrifice for you. And so he gives us a different picture of who God is. And if the God that you believe in or you claim to believe in doesn't line up with the God of the Bible, then you don't believe in my God. You believe in somebody else, in a God that doesn't exist. So I want you to listen to me. Students, listen to me. Obedience isn't just something that we do because that's what our parents want from us. It's not just something that we do whenever we feel like. Obedience is a way of life, right? Obedience, it's a way of living. And I'll say this to you. How you treat your parents, how you view your parents, is how you are going to treat and view God. If you think your parents are a pushover, And I'm talking to everybody now. If you think that your parents are a pushover, if you think authority is a pushover, that's how you'll view God. If you think that God doesn't love you, then or your parents don't love you, then that's how you'll view God. You'll think that God doesn't love me. If you think your parents are too strict, then you're going to think that God is too strict. If one of your parents left you, you're going to think God is going to leave me. And all those are lies. Couldn't be further from the truth. But our perceptions tend to shape our beliefs sometimes, what we think we know, right? I remember I went to middle school in Oklahoma. I'm not proud of that. I'm still repenting. I went to middle school in Oklahoma. It was a small town. Texoma is what it was called. And there were like 15 kids in my class. From 6th to 12th grade, there was maybe like 100, 110 students. Small. So I stayed with the same group of kids, you know, through 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But when I went into high school, I moved back home to Amarillo, where it's a little bit bigger. And so I went to a high school campus, and it's huge, right? My middle school campus was all of like, you know, one building. But this, my high school campus was big. It was massive. And so the first day I went to campus, I'm like, you know, 3.5 feet. I was short. I'm still short. But I was a lot shorter back then. But it was a big campus. It was huge. A lot of different buildings. Huge, you know, a couple of gyms. And every class, you're going somewhere for a new class. I didn't know how to navigate that thing. So I had the map. I was the nerd with the backpack on and the map right in front of me and, you know, making sure I knew where to go. And the more I kept my map with me, the more comfortable I got where I was going. Maybe you remember this. Maybe you remember your first day of school on a new campus and you didn't know where to go and they gave you a map. The map helped you out. God is huge. God is beyond what our minds can imagine. He's ginormous. We need a map to navigate how big God is. This is your map. This is how you navigate and know who God is. His word. And I want to encourage the youth this. Right, over the past couple of weeks, I've been asking them, why should we believe the Bible? Why should we believe the Bible? Right? I want to encourage you to do this. Read your Bible and ask questions. Ask questions from the Bible. And parents, I want to encourage us not to say, because the Bible says so. Again, the Bible can be very unclear at times. The Bible says no tattoos. I know quite a few Christians that get tattoos. The Bible says greet each other with the holy kiss. I don't want your bad breath around me. The Bible says no bacon. Don't you dare come between me and my bacon. All right? The Bible says a lot of weird things. Learn to ask questions. And parents, we can't just play the because I said so or because the Bible says so card. Training and instruction, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, is accurate instruction. It is saying, here is why we believe in God. Here is why we obey God. So here is why we obey God. This is why, as a Christian, I obey God. Because his will, right? The Bible talks about God having a will for our lives. His will, three things, has been pleasing, has been perfect, and has been proven. God has shown me time and time again how perfect he is, how pleasing he is. And that his accuracy is 100%. He's 10 from 10 from the three-point line. He can't miss throw. He can't overshoot a receiver. He's a hole-in-one on every shot. His accuracy rate is 100%. I obey God because I know I can't go wrong. That's why I obey God. And if you don't know who you claim to believe, You have no reason to obey him. But I'm going to tell the parents this, because I love your kids and I want what's best for your kids. I want what's best for my kids. If we're not clear about the message that we're giving them, then they will hear loud and clear the message that the world is giving them. And the world is hell-bent on making sure your kids listen to that message. The music, TV shows, athletes, politics, you name it. They are giving your kids a message every minute of every day. As soon as they turn on their phones, as soon as they turn on social media, as soon as they turn on the TV, there is a message being portrayed to your kids. And if we aren't clear onto why we believe who Jesus says he is, if we aren't clear about the gospel, and if we don't lay them out in a clear way that they understand, look, I'm going to come right here. Because this is about you guys today. Jesus was clear on who God was. Because, well, he was God. But his message to us is saying, know who I am. I'm not a fictional character. I'm not somebody that you can just pick up and put down whenever you feel like it. I am an all-powerful being. I can take your life right now if I want to. That's the God that I believe in. And everybody sitting here, maybe, has said that you believe in that God. You see, Jesus was obedient unto death, because he knew that God's will was perfect, pleasing, and proven to be good. He said, I am giving up my life because I want the will of the Father for you. I want you to believe that God's plan is better than what your parents can have planned for you. And they have pretty good plans for you. But God's plan is better. And Jesus says, I want you to experience the love of the Father. The love that your parents have for you does not compare to the love of the Father. And he says is, I just want you to believe in me. And I want you to be obedient, because I've proven myself to you time and time and time again. God has proven himself to us. And who are we to say, I'd rather be show-obedient. I'd rather just look the part and act the part, but not really be the part. Jesus showed us what true obedience looks like. He showed us what fear of the Lord looks like. Anybody know what fear of the Lord is? It's not when somebody jumps out from around the corner and scares you and you pee your pants. Not that kind of fear of the Lord. Fear is this reverence of who God is. And Jesus, being the very nature of God, says, I fear God so much that I'm humbling myself. And I'm putting myself under the power of God. And this is what obedience is. I'm putting myself under the authority of God and allowing him to direct my life. And I pray that you guys would really be obedient to God. Jesus gave up his life so that we would be obedient to the Father. Father God, your Son is amazing. To be obedient into death, Lord. That he would be our sacrifice, that he would be the Isaac that takes our place on the altar, Father God, that he would be us. We should be on the altar to be sacrificed, Lord, but you take our place. And Lord, we come to you, and Lord, I pray that the youth, that the parents, that the grandparents, that the soon-to-be parents, the singles out there, Father God, that we would be obedient to you, that we would raise our kids up in a way that they are clear of the message that we are giving them, Father. Jesus was clear with us when he said that you so loved the world, you so loved us, that you gave us your one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Lord, I pray that as the ushers come and bring communion, Father God, that the bread that represents your body, Father God, and the juice that represents your blood, Lord, I pray that as we take this, Lord, as we take this, that we would come into obedience, Father God, that we would just humble ourselves to you and say, God, we're not worthy, but you love us anyways. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you made, Father God. And because of the sacrifice, that we will be obedient to your call. Because we know that you are holy. We know that you're perfect. We know that you're righteous. We know that somehow you can be way up in the heavens and yet you can still be here with us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just be obedient to this. That we would be obedient to you. Not a show. Not just so people like us, or not so we put up this fake front, Father God, but so that we could just be naked, like Adam and Eve were, Lord. Naked in your presence, to be unashamed of who we are, because we are obedient to the perfect and holy Father. Lord, thank you for Jesus. And just what he has shown us on what it means to be obedient. Help us to be little Christs, to be Christians that live the way that Jesus lived. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.